Hello, everybody. Greetings. It's Peter Cass here. Today, I wanted to go through a case and pose the question, is it standard of care to miss appendicitis in children? So I will say to start off with that in kids that are less than 4 or 5 years of age, it almost is, because they rarely present with the classic findings. And so I think the very young kids will have a fever and have some vomiting. They'll have abdo pain, but it'll be very different to what you normally find. Less than 50% of them will have, you know, rosing signs and all these other signs. And they can get symptoms such as diarrhea that'll mimic gastroenteritis.
Let's look at today's case.
Today's case is a 6 or 7 year old presents to the emergency department, sent in by the local doctor, in fact, with having had a recent viral illness and now has got some anorexia, some nausea, and has had some nondescriptive lower abdominal pain. The fevers seem to have been subjective, nothing's been recorded. At triage, and the other vitals seem to be pretty normal. So they go into a cubicle and they get seen very, very quickly. The child is afebrile, has very, very minimal pain, does have some episodes of diarrhea. And so post-diarrhea, there is absolutely no pain. There's no rovesings, there's no obturator, there's no south. There's no pain at all in the abdomen. Incidentally, the child tests positive for influenza A. So, which one is it? Is it appendicitis? Is it mesenteric adenitis? Or is it influenza itself that's causing this? And if you have these intercurrent illnesses, can they make it more difficult to make the diagnosis?
Let me be clear. This is definitely appendicitis or adenitis or a virus. It could be gastroenteritis. Have you checked the urine for infection? Definitely one of these. I have no doubt.
Let's look at appendicitis.
Oh, let's talk about appendicitis really quickly. So kids with appendicitis will usually present with very classic fever and lethargy, anorexia, nausea, vomiting. Now, usually in appendicitis, as compared to mesenteric adenitis, the abdominal pain begins first and the vomiting happens after this. There may be guarding, there may be rebound, there may be a roving sign. And if we look at the highest yield findings for appendicitis, and we look at likelihood ratios, and you can have a look at this in the show notes below, we see that probably the best performing signs that we have are roving sign and obturator sign, which have a likelihood ratio of 3.5, and then followed closely by the psoas sign, which is a high likelihood ratio, well, high-ish, of 3.2. Migration, periumbilical pain going to the right upper right lower quadrant has got a likelihood ratio of 1.8. So it's not very high. What does this likelihood ratio mean? So a positive likelihood ratio should be more than 1. A likelihood ratio that's positive and it's greater than 10 is a great test. So, for example, a formal ultrasound for appendicitis done by an experienced operator has got a positive likelihood ratio of 90-something percent. A positive likelihood ratio of less than 2 doesn't mean a lot. It usually doesn't change. So I think this is really important. So we find that fever and anorexia and vomiting have all got, and migration of pain, have all got likelihood ratios that are hovering around 1.3. Even right lower quadrant pain has got a positive likelihood ratio of 1.4. And the idea that they can have percussion pain, they can have an irritation of the peritoneum, well, that's also got a positive likelihood ratio of 1.6 for appendicitis. So these are not great. Because there have been so many cases of mesenteric adenitis that have gone to theatre, the mimicking appendicitis, they've come up with scoring systems, and two of the major ones are the Alvarado score and the pediatric appendicitis score. Now, the effectiveness of these scores to pick up a condition depend on the prevalence of the condition in the population. Now, we would assume that the prevalence would be higher in a pediatric population. Most thought out there says that less than 10-year-olds presenting with right lower quadrant pain probably going to be mesenteric adenitis rather than appendicitis. So if we look at the Alvarado score and say, all right, what do these scores mean? So the Alvarado score includes migration of pain, anorexia, nausea, vomiting, right lower quadrant pain, rebound, tenderness, temperature greater than 37.3, white cell count greater than 10, polymorphs greater than 75%. Now, all of these things together, if you've got a score that is below 4 or below 5, you can almost rule out appendicitis. The problem with these scores is, and the pediatric appendicitis score has pretty much exactly the same parameters, the problem with these scores is that they require us to do blood tests. And we know how difficult it can be to do blood tests, and we know that usually the yield is not effective. Plus, if we do a white cell count on a patient that also has influenza and right lower quadrant pain, what are the chances it's going to be greater than 10,000? It's very high. And the CRPs are going to be high as well. So it doesn't help us very much. Now, if we look at the accuracy of the decision rules for appendicitis, and let's say we stick to the Alvarado score. So the Alvarado score is a score out of 10. Less than 4 is very low risk. Most people say less than 5, you can almost rule out some of these scores. And the problem with the Alvarado score is that it depends on the penetration, the prevalence of the disease in the population. And it can over-diagnose appendicitis. So a 4 to 6 is a moderate risk, and greater than 7, so or equal to 7, so 7 to 10 is a high risk. If we look at an average child, so in our child, for example, there's some anorexia, so they score a 1. Nausea and vomiting, they score a 1. They get that. They don't actually have right lower quadrant pain. They've got a little bit of, you know, lower abdominal pain. They have had one temperature record of greater than 37.3, so they'll score a 1 for that. We haven't done blood tests. Let's say we did the blood tests and the white cell count was greater than 10,000, whether it's from appendicitis or influenza, we don't know. Whether it's from mesenteric adenitis, we don't know. But they score 2 for that, so they're up to 5. Let's say they got high polymorphs, they score another 1. They're 6. What does 6 mean? 6 is a moderate risk. What is the probability of appendicitis when you assume a pre-test probability of 66%, so there's a higher prevalence in that population? It's 12% if you're scoring between a 4 and a 6 in the Alvarado score. It's not fantastic. The accuracy of the blood tests themselves, they go from a likelihood ratio that is probably no greater than 3. But if you've got a white cell count of greater than 14,000, the negative predictive value is about 41% in a 50% prevalence. So these blood tests don't help us very much. It is still very much a clinical picture. Now, they came up with a modified Alvarado score where they said, oh, less than 4 points you can discharge, 5 to 6 you can admit, 7 points I need an operation. But this score actually includes not only the clinical findings, which are nausea, vomiting, right lower quadrant pain, and the indirect signs, which are Rovesing's, obturator, and so as, but they also include white cell counts and an ultrasound. And the problem is, we can't get these. So the differentials that can mimic appendicitis,
they are mesenteric adenitis and a viral illness.
If mesenteric adenitis will present with fever, sometimes quite high, 38.5. They can appear toxic. They may have rhinorrhea or upper respiratory tract infection. They could have a concomitant or an antecedent upper respiratory tract infection. They'll have malaise. They'll have nausea and vomiting. Usually it precedes the abdominal pain. And they can have a change in bowel habit. They can have voluntary guarding or rigidity. And they can also get this periumbilical pain as well. And if you do blood tests, the CRP and the white cell count will be raised. So I don't know that it helps us very much. So what about viral illnesses? So influenza can produce symptoms that are very similar to appendicitis. Fever, myalgia, fatigue, vomiting, diarrhea, severe abdominal pain, and it can mimic an acute appendicitis. And there have been rare case studies of influenza A resulting in appendicitis. So the diagnosis is difficult. Probably the best test we have is a formal ultrasound in the hands of a very experienced operator that has a likelihood ratio of about 93. That's magnificent. CT scans with dual contrast, likelihood ratio is only 8.3. And an MRI has a likelihood ratio of about 19. We don't want to subject children to abdominal CTs. We can get an ultrasound, but this is one of those resources we don't always have access to. So when we see patients, if they have nothing more than abdominal pain, with no symptomatology of a previous respiratory illness or gastroenteritis or anything else, it does become simpler. However, when you have a mixture of diseases and you think the patient may have mesenteric adenitis because of a recent viral illness and they have a positive result, and I can tell you half of my kids that have come in with a fever have got influenza A. It just seems to be going rampant at the moment. So it's difficult to diagnose. It becomes a clinical diagnosis. And as long as your kid is eating again and drinking and passing urine and the pain is not bad or it's gone, as it had in this particular patient, I think it's fair to either decide to observe them or to potentially send them home with strict instructions and I get a review.
Conclusion: don't be fooled.
But it's a difficult diagnosis to make. So be vigilant, but expect it to be difficult. Get help. Ask somebody else for their opinion if you need to. All right, I think we've got a fantastic case next week that I'm just preparing at the moment. You will love it. Until then, Peter Cash signing out.